Today on Real Radio.
A change of government happens when a people seek after God, when they turn to Him. You see, it's not only turning away from sin. You'll just become moral. There's a lot of moral people in hell. There's a lot of good people in hell. That's not how you get to heaven, by being good. I think you know that by now. Goodness has nothing to do with it. It's one step to turn away from evil. You have to take the second step, which is turn toward God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah. We've been looking at the latter part of chapter 3, where we are told that not only the people of Nineveh exhibited repentance, but the sudden change in heart went all the way up to the top man in political office. We now continue in a study called A Change in Government. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
To put on sackcloth is to invert it and to put it against you, or to put on extremely humble apparel, to certainly downdress. Well, what's the point of that? It speaks outwardly through action. Listen, what's taking place inside the heart? I don't want comfort because my heart is not comforted, is what the message is. And to sit in ashes rather than on a throne and in a palace, it's to communicate in an active way externally, we are grieving. Wouldn't it be something if America proclaimed a fast? We're going to start proclaiming fast here in this church. We're going to come together. We are going to start coming together, and we're going to have a day of fasting, and then we're going to meet for prayer. And that day, you'll know about it in advance. It will be dedicated to the salvation of our teenagers, to our children. And then we'll have another fast sometime in the future where we will come together and fast and pray for the families. And then we'll have another one at some point in time. You say, Pastor, we'll lose a lot of weight. No, we're going to gain a lot of spiritual victory. Why? Because we will look about and we'll say, we'll take time, we'll check out from our daily routine and say, you know what? When is the last time I wept for the soul of my child? When is the last time I wept for the condition of my family? And we're going to pray as a church. We're going to fast as a church. And you say, well, Pastor, that's pretty heavy stuff. I don't know if I want to go to a church that does that kind of stuff. Then find a place that's different. Then go somewhere. Are you serious, though, about your home? Are you serious about your nation? Are you serious about your life? When you're so touchy, I don't want fancy clothes. I don't want to sit on the throne. I'm not on the throne. Can you imagine what was going on in the heart of that king? I don't feel like sitting on the throne. I'm not worthy to sit on the throne. There's only one who's worthy to sit on the throne, and it's the God that Jonah is speaking about. A godless, wicked king could have such a change of mind. Isn't that amazing, people? Hugh Hefner said recently that if he lived today, Jesus Christ would live at the Playboy Mansion in L.A. How do you handle that? When I heard that, I honestly was driving down the freeway, and I said, Lord, smite that guy. Just smite him with the smiting that you know how to smite with. And then the Lord said, I love that nut. All right, Lord, give him your grace, have mercy upon him, and save his soul. Can you imagine if Hugh Hefner got saved and said, I've been living for 50 years and all this, or how old is it? Like 100 and, how old is it? 110. I've been living for sin for 100 years. And God has spoken to me, and I'm not on the throne. I'm not even on the cover anymore. God has stolen my heart. I'm a wicked sinner, and I'm telling, we're destroying the empire of pornography. It's over. Can you imagine? You say, well, that will never happen. Oh, no, don't say that after I'm preaching my heart out here. God can do it. He did it to the king of Nineveh. Think about it. When God reveals himself to a heart that is repentant and is being changed, there's no telling what will happen. You work with somebody who you say, there is no way that guy or that gal will ever get saved. God heard you, and God knows your thoughts, and what that is a trophy in the crown of God's salvation, you know? He'll go after that person. Think of Paul. Imagine what, remember the church? Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul. They were so scared of him. There's no recorded prayer meeting in the Bible that they ever interceded for Saul's conversion. They probably said, God, stop this man. Do something with him. Okay. And God knocked him off his donkey and saved his soul from hell. And Paul became the greatest apostle that has ever lived. Well, where are we in that matter? Who are we? What are we doing? And what's the influence that we have in life? Don't raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. But are you a Christian this morning? Yes. Great. What influence are you and I having upon people? J. Vernon McGee put it this way, the only way J. Vernon McGee can put it. He says, churches, church members are either pillars or caterpillars. The pillars build up and hold up the church, and the caterpillars take down and tear down the church. I thought of termites, seeing how I just found a piece of wood in my house. And I thought of termites. Termites. Well, in the Lord, we can have some might. We can do a lot for God if we walk in his might. But if not, if we're not walking with God, we can be a termite. We can tear things up. We can chew the church apart. Well, did you see that? Well, how come? I don't know why. Are you a pillar or a caterpillar? The witness that you and I live transmits to people. The king apparently looks like he's destroying a nation. But what is he really doing? He's building a new nation under the leadership of God. And so he puts on sackcloth and he sits in ashes. I mean, this is not Nordstrom's here he's wearing. This is like Zodi's. Or, how old am I? All right, TG&Y, you know, pick and save. It's not custom stuff he's wearing, and he's in front of the people. And they're going, what's going on? He's humbling himself. The second thing, and we'll end with this point, verses 7 through 9, and we'll pick up next week. A change in government is when the people seek after God. That's when things change. How does that happen? Well, they must see their need. Look, I love the continuity of this. It starts with the king. Verse 7 says, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. In other words, they're all in agreement, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Well, personally, they're abstaining from pleasures. That's what that means. Personally, they're abstaining from worldly provisions. They had it all, by the way. Personally, they're abstaining from self-independence. What are you saying? Nobody tastes anything. Abandon pleasures. Why? If you know about Nineveh, it was all nasty pleasures. It's not like they went to a hockey game. They were doing bad things. And the king says, stop it now. So, in our modern day world, it would be the president's Saturday morning address on the radio. And he says, I'm calling upon all Americans today. God has spoken to me last night. And God says that we as a nation, we must turn or we're going to be completely obliterated. God showed me that if we don't turn, he has raised up Islam and the Taliban and all that stuff to destroy America. We must pray and turn from our wicked ways or God will judge us. I'm asking all people to not go get drunk tonight. I'm asking all people to abstain from this and to not do that and to pray. Can you imagine? A leader who, when he said such a thing, people would do it. What kind of a respect, what kind of an honor can someone have over a population, over a nation? A person whose life is in the hand of God. Please understand, it is beyond human ability to achieve. It is miraculous by the workings of God. They must come to see their need, verse 7. Verse 8, a change of government will happen when people seek God because they must forsake their way. Verse 8 says, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, listen, and from violence. And it is the violence. They were not only wicked, but what characterized the performance of their culture was violence. Boy, I'm glad our culture is not violent. Violence. Isn't that weird? Not only, of course, is violence wickedness, but here in Nineveh, it's get away from all violence and the wickedness or the violence that was perpetually in their bloodstream, so to speak. They had wickedness. And certainly part of that was violence. But their expertise at wickedness was violence. They perfected it. Notice the orchestration of action. They publicly covered themselves with sackcloth. And the animals. You say, well, that's stupid. Well, I'm old enough to remember when President Kennedy was killed. I remember sitting down in front of the TV, black and white TV, and watching, you guys remember? A horse in the procession with its boots, the man's boots, remember, on the horse in the stirrups turned backwards, the riderless horse. And when a president dies, they take the boots and they insert them backwards in the stirrups. And the horse, it's a very specific horse. It's uneasy. Have you seen it? Any of you old-timers around here, you know what I'm talking about? The horse is very, very agitated by nature. And everything is in such perfect, listen, procession down Pennsylvania Avenue. And then there's that riderless horse. It's all by itself, and it's extremely nervous, and it acts very, very disjointed. And its boots are the horse, the man's boots are turned backwards in the stirrups, and it gives you goosebumps. I'm getting them talking about it because it speaks of something so wrong has happened. And the animals are covered with sackcloth because sin has permeated our world. What was wrong is so wrong that by the decree of the king, it infiltrates even the animal realm. Anything under their jurisdiction is mourning. And they cry to God mightily. And that's a tremendous thing. Psalm 69, verse 3 says, I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry and my eyes fail while I wait for my God. Crying. The word here means to cry loud. Loud. Screaming. Moaning, yelling, crying. Can you imagine a nation? No, we got to keep cool. We got to keep calm. We got to witness. We got to... No, they've lost it in their grief. Revelation 7, 9 through 10 talks about a people crying with a loud voice. Psalm 42, 3 says that they cried unto God. Matthew 20, verse 30. It says that, behold, two blind men were sitting along the road. I love this wonderful event. Two blind men are sitting along the road in Matthew chapter 20. And they say, well, who's passing by? What's this entourage? And somebody says, it's Jesus. He's coming by. And it says, with that, they began to cry with a loud voice. And people began to tell them, be quiet. And it said when people told them to be quiet, it said they yelled more and loud. And they really, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus walks by and they're yelling and crying and screaming. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus turns around and says, what do you want me to do for you guys? Don't you love it? I mean, he knew what their problem was. It's kind of like, oh, we're blind. I mean, isn't it obvious? Kind of leads me to believe, this is my imagination, reminds me, or causes me to think, I should say, that he was not only going to heal them of their blindness, but what do you want me to do for you guys? I mean, here's a blank check from God. What do you want me to do? Well, you put it that way. I'd like to be 6'4", not blind anymore, have a nice new donkey, you know, have a house down by the lake. What do you want me to do? We're blind, Jesus. The Bible says Jesus healed them, and they got up and they did the thing that the king of Nineveh did. They got up and they followed the Lord. What do you do when you're blind and you're healed from your blindness? You follow the Lord. What do you do when you have food to eat every day and thankfulness? You follow the Lord. What do we do when we follow the Lord? We'd be grateful if we have a roof over our head. Oh, you mean I only got 12 presents? How many did you get? 28? Oh, man, I only got 12. Be glad, be happy, rejoice that you have clothes on your body. Rejoice. Finally, we'll end in verse 9. So, yeah, finally. The change of government happens when a people seek after God, when they turn to Him. You see, it's not only turning away from sin. You'll just become moral. There's a lot of moral people in hell. There's a lot of good people in hell. That's not how you get to heaven, by being good. I think you know that by now. Goodness has nothing to do with it. It's one step to turn away from evil. You have to take the second step, which is turn toward God. You got to turn to Him. Listen to verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from His fierce anger so that we may not perish? Who can tell? They're saying perhaps what we've heard of God. The word means what we've heard about this God of the Jews, of the Israelites. Maybe it's true. And it says, who can tell if God will turn or relent? Some of your Bibles say repent. And some people have said, well, yeah, there's a problem with the Bible here, that God repents, He changed His mind. This is using a word in earthly languages, and this, in our case, English, where for us the meaning is narrow. The Bible clearly teaches that God does not change His mind. Did you know that? It's impossible for God to change His mind. You say, well, what's it saying here? Didn't God say, I'm going to deal with Nineveh 40 days and it's going to perish? Yes, He did, through Jonah. Yeah, that's what He said. Well, He's not doing it now. That's right, He's not. See, God changed His mind. No, He did not. Because in the nature, you're going to need to write this down when you don't understand things. When your life and my life's falling apart and we don't get it, press the default button in your head. The default button goes to the nature of God. When you don't know and you don't understand and you can't find that verse that helps you in that moment, know this. God's nature is good. And He says through Jonah, yet 40 days and Nineveh is overthrown. That's true. If Nineveh did not what? Repent. But if Nineveh repented, then God would stay the judgment. He didn't change His mind. Built into the nature, I should say, residing. It was never built into Him. Residing in the nature of God is His immutability. He's immutable, which means He can't change. It's impossible. So when God says, well, I was going to fry him, but no, I'm not. He didn't change His mind. Built into the decree of God is His immutability, which means He will not violate Himself. People change, I'll forgive them. That's the nature of God. Isn't that encouraging? Say, Pastor, I've sinned so much, I don't think it's going to happen. You want to bet? Turn to God, Forsake your sin, turn to God, watch what happens. It's a tremendous thing. God does not change his mind. Write down these verses and we'll be done. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Hebrews 13:8. Keep this in mind, by the way, when you're praying. It's a great comfort. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. God cannot change his mind. The will or the mind of God does not change. And I want to leave this picture in your head. You ever been to Chicago? Or how about a couple weeks ago when the Santa Ana winds were blowing as hard as they were here? Well, if you've been in Chicago and the wind that blows off Lake Michigan, if you're walking on the streets, you have got to lean in. If you've seen the news sometimes, you see the people walking in Chicago. They're walking like this. The wind is so strong. And your eye, the tears go back from your eyes. And it's horrible. Walking on the streets in downtown Chicago, you get blown away. And you got to fight it. And if you open your mouth, those of you who've been there, you open your mouth to breathe or whatever, and it will shake your cheeks. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You look like a loony. All because of you're fighting against the wind. That wind is moving. What happens if you turn around? It's the same wind. But if you turn around, that wind pushes you down the street. It's like you're relaxing. In fact, if you had a skateboard and you opened up your shirt, you could probably go 30 miles an hour. And people do it. You'll go with the wind. It's effortless. Whoa! In life, we fight the will of God. We're going like this. And if we turn and go with his will, we can relax. And life falls in its place.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, expressing the biblical truth that even though we fight against it, being in the will of Almighty God is the safest place to be in. A Change in Government. That's the title of this presentation taken from our teacher's audio series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more in this series within a series called A Change in Government. Remember, though, you can hear this informative series whenever you want and as often as you want, simply by obtaining your own edition. We've put it together in an 11-CD package and simply entitled it The Book of Jonah, A Study by Pastor Jack Hibbs. We're making it easy for you to get this audio series to make part of your audio library. How does it work? Simple. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it out to you. Your donation, large or small, goes toward covering the costs generated in bringing you this program Monday through Friday, and it's all tax deductible. You can call, click, or write. Just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, and right there on the front page, read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, use our new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's quite easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. If you prefer, you may also write to us. Send in your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. Of course, any details you may have missed can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.